What's up, everyone? I am Brandon Hay, and you can find me on on Twitter at HayV3. By the way, this is What the Fantasy. Totally messed that part up.
You did perfect. You did perfect. My name is Zada Kants Abedian at ZKantsFF on Twitter, and I was just laughing because of the juju thumbnail. What the juju? I love the title of the episode. And let's just get right down to it, because I learned today that humans only have an attention span of 7 seconds, so let's keep them here while we got them. I ranked Juju Smith-Schuster as my dynasty wide receiver, I ranked him as 17th overall in my dynasty rankings yesterday. All right, and I didn't get a lot of comments, but I lost like 15 followers like in 2 hours, which is fine. You know, that's how you weed them out. And then I also got comments that were like kind of like hurtful. Like I got one that said, seek help. I was like, wow, seek help. Come on, man. And then I got another one that was like, no, seriously, you need to seek help. You're going to lose any credibility you have. If you've had any, we got this and that. And, I'll just defend my case, right? So look, things change in the fantasy season. Nothing is stagnant, right? So we saw in the beginning of the season when we were discussing weighted opportunity rating and the players are rated like in week 2, week 3, week 1, we saw Christian Kirk like have a massive weighted opportunity rating. And like, that's a pretty good predictive stat of how future fantasy success in the current season. Right now, Christian Kirk, he doesn't have the same weighted opportunity rating that he did in weeks 1, 2, and 3. He's a different player now. The systems change. Football teams change. They adapt. And we always say the first month of the season is essentially teams feeling themselves out, especially if those teams have taken on new players and they're creating a new image. Pieces are trying to settle in. Chemistry is being established. You know, there's things that are working themselves out, right? And by the end of September, we see things begin to take shape. Over the past couple of weeks, Juju Smith-Schuster has begun to become more of a significant contributor in the offense. And this is an aggressive take by me because I am an aggressive fantasy player, and I, you know, what's the harm too? Like, no one's going to die. But like, so I'm an aggressive fantasy player. I make aggressive trades. I'm very stubborn in my takes, and you know, I'll change when I have to, but if I firmly believe something and most importantly feel something in my bones, I will do it. And it's not about being hot takey. I despise being hot takey, right? So let's discuss where Juju Smith-Schuster is at on the season, right? So I've made some notes about where he's at in the season. Again, he's my dynasty wide receiver. He's 17th overall in my dynasty rankings as it is, right? So let's look at where he is on the season. On the season, among wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster is 21st in targets. He's 18th in receptions, 12th in total yards, 20th in yards per route run, and 13th in yards per target, right? So he's creeping his way up, right? And he just started to begin what I believe to be a positive trend in the Chiefs offense, right? I think he's beginning to separate himself, and he also looks like a different player. Like, he looked almost like his physical, not his play style, but his physical makeup, he looks thicker. He looks more like a Deebo Samuel type of build. Like, he's bigger. Juju Smith-Schuster never has been a bigger player. Like, he looks more physical out there. And, you know, he seems just as athletic. And don't forget, Juju Smith-Schuster, he's still not even like 25 years old. How old is he? 24 years old. I should have checked the age. But again, I understand that there's
He's almost 26.
He's almost 26. Okay, so he's 25 years old. So he's got like 4 years left on him, 5 more years left on him. He's signed cheaply to the Chiefs on a $2 million contract, I believe. They can renew him if they want to, but I think right now, like, for me, I heavily weigh the current season's the current season, right? Projecting beyond and just trying to predict what the what ifs are is a good habit to develop, right? I do it too, but right now, the fantasy points are being created this year, this season. So I weigh that more into my evaluation. And everybody has their own process, and I respect your process. This is just my process, and I want to give you a behind the scenes look at how I kind of look at things. You saw where he's out in the season. That should only continue to get better if this trend continues. If it doesn't, I'll change it. I'll swallow my pride. I'll eat the crow. I'll change it.
Okay. Now, I will say, I thought, I think, you know, when you usually do a take on Twitter, I usually do like some kind of GIF or something, and it's all in fun. But I felt like you were a little sensitive last night. I thought you were a little sensitive, and I just want to go into my thoughts actually looking into Juju. I'm not as high as you are, but I'm not as far off. So let me show you some things. I did some prep. I wanted to make sure I was prepared. So let me pull up on the screen. Okay, so first, player profiler. I pulled this up. We see he's had the last two good games, and I guess my only thing worry is just the last game against San Francisco was a little fluky in just like how they scored so quick. So he obviously only ran 22 routes, but I did look at his target share this season, and all but two games were over 20%. One of those games was at 19, and he was second in targets to only Kelce, other than one game where Valdez Scantling had that. So I think the biggest thing with him is, and now let's go into, these are previous dynasty rankings I had for wide receivers right here. So I had, this was, I think, before the season, I had him as wide receiver 37. Right now, I kind of, all these ones in red, I kind of, I'm just saying, I'm putting below them. DJ Moore, I like DJ Moore better, but until they get that quarterback situation, he can't be higher than Juju. Same with Garrett Wilson. Michael Thomas can't be healthy. Darnell Mooney, same thing. Devontae Smith, it's never going to be consistent as long as AJ Brown's there. Elijah Moore, same thing, quarterback. Keenan Allen can't stay healthy. Jameson Williams, I didn't think he would take this long. Still out. Brandon Cooks, maybe he's finally hitting that decline because he's not quarterback proof. Marquise Brown's hurt. Rashad Bateman, like I said, all those Lamar lovers said all this stuff. That offense is still run heavy. It's not. It can't consistently support a wide receiver. Chase Claypool, if he gets traded, possibly. And then I have a bunch of rookies here. I think I might like Olave better, but they still don't know their quarterback situation. Brandon Ayuk, I really like, but I don't know how CMC changes that. San Francisco offense, Treylon Burks, he's hurt. So there's all that. So he's around probably right now wide receiver 21 or 22 for me. So not a huge difference with you, but I do want to talk about this part. I think obviously Juju is the second option on this team behind Travis Kelce. You can see that through the targets. And I think that's where he fits best. Do you think Kansas City will bring him back? Because if he goes somewhere else as a one again, like they tried to do in Pittsburgh, I don't think he'll have this kind of success. So my main question with Juju is, will he continue to take less money to stay with Patrick Mahomes? Or is he going to try to get a payday and go somewhere else where, with a lesser quarterback and not as great of a system, I don't know if he can necessarily overcome that, because in Pittsburgh, they didn't have a great system for him because they kept on making him go short when you've seen like the air yards can be really, a lot larger for Juju. So what's your opinion on his future team? Do you think Kansas City will bring him back?
Well, as far as Juju's prospects go on the free agency market, we saw that no team wanted to sign him when he became a free agent last year, so he ended up just staying with the Steelers, right? I think if he hits the free market this year, or the free agency market this year, I think that savvy owners will understand this guy was probably a product of the Chiefs' offense. He'll still get signed, but I don't think it's going to be anything too lucrative, right? And Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, believes that he seems like he deserves more than he's entitled to. Right. And again, my ranking also heavily weighs in that he is tied to Patrick Mahomes. Right. He is a product of the system. Right. I'm not saying he's Devontae Adams. I have Chris Olave higher than him in my rankings about by a few spots. Right. He's behind T. Higgins. He's behind all your staple guys. But he's just as far as the free agency market, I think he's going to have to stay with the Chiefs. Right. The Chiefs are going to he and the Chiefs are going to have to work something out, because it didn't seem like there were too many suitors for him in the free agency market last year. Now, unless he just goes nuts and begins exhibiting traits that he hasn't exhibited yet. Like I said, he is looking more physical. He is looking a little bit bigger. I don't have any metrics to show how big he is or if he did gain weight. He just looks to me bigger. And I've heard other people say the same thing about Juju this year. So if he does start playing more on the outside and actually plays like a perimeter receiver, as well as, you know, being prolific in the slot like he normally is, maybe then as a 25-year-old, about to be 26-year-old receiver who's developed in the league and has grown, and, you know, that would probably earn him a bigger check. Again, this is a very aggressive ranking for me, right? This is not all my rankings are like this, but with Juju Smith-Schuster, he's the only person I have aggressively ranked in Dynasty. And, you know, it's based on what I've seen from him, where I think he can go in this offense. I think this offense is beginning to sparse itself out and they're figuring things out. Sky Moore, you know, he's having trouble just on special teams as it is sticking on special teams, right? I love him as a talent. I don't think Sky Moore is a number one wide receiver. And honestly, I don't really think Juju Smith-Schuster, outside of Travis Kelce, you know, I think he'll always operate behind Travis Kelce. It's still to be seen if he can develop into a true number one wide receiver. But we know the Chiefs can adapt and change their offense to fit their players, right? And they're currently figuring it out right now, a month and a half into the regular season. So we'll see what happens. We'll see with Juju Smith-Schuster if he can become a number one wide receiver outside of the existence of Travis Kelce. Right now, he is a top wide receiver in that team. He's putting up good stats, like I've discussed, like I mentioned earlier. And I think those stats are slowly going to get better and better as this season progresses.
Yeah, I don't think your take is that. I mean, I've been surprised that many people thought it was that crazy. What I thought it was mid crazy when I first heard it, but after I went through the wide receivers, like I went through that list. A lot of those wide receivers I like better than Juju, but there's situations. I can't put that there because he's in a great situation there. But I will say, I always thought Sky Moore was not going to do much this year. I thought he would do more than he's doing right now. But people that thought he was going to take over that, you know, there was people that thought he was going to take over that Tyreek Hill spot. I was like, he's not that guy. I think next year he'll have more. So I think that might take away from Juju in the future. I do wonder too, because that San Francisco game, the Chiefs were doing whatever they want. So like a lot of people have big games. Mecole Hardman had 3 touchdowns, everything like that. There's going to be games like that for the Chiefs. But when there aren't those kind of games, I do wonder if it's just going to be more spread out, because, you know, like Mahomes said a couple weeks ago, he said it's going to depend on the game, you know, who does that. And if Juju continues to play well, I would imagine it's going to be similar when last year people started, you know, focusing on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and then, you know, they needed that third person to step up. So do they kind of roll their coverage more to Juju, and then what happens? I don't know. This is probably, you know, I know Tyreek's not there, but overall he has a lot more different weapons that he can use. And I think Patrick Mahomes has grown into a better, even better quarterback now that he doesn't have Tyreek, because he can't just throw it up. He has to read the defenses better. You know, he has to, you know, pick and choose when he's going to take the deep shots and everything. I don't think it's crazy, but a lot of those players that I said, if their quarterback situations get better, I like them a lot, like Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson. I was totally wrong with Zach Wilson. I thought he was going to be much better this year. I don't know how Jets are winning games because he looks horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good segue to our next topic, James Robinson, right? Like, I mean, you can start this one off. I mean, I think you saw how I feel about James Robinson. I'm not too optimistic about his outlook this year as far as fantasy football goes. And I'm not saying he's not a good running back. I think he's a good running back. But as far as fantasy football, I'm not too optimistic. But I'll let you kick it off on James Robinson. Tell the people what you think. And I'm curious to hear what you have to say on the man.
So first of all, I hate that the Jags made this trade. First, you know, Most teams have 2 running backs, you know. Peterson has used multiple running backs, so what he's doing right now is a little confusing to me. Maybe it's because he thinks Etienne is like by far the most talented back he's had, but Etienne just came off the injury last year, And you're left with, if Etienne gets hurt, you're left with Jamichael Hasty and Snoop Connor. And I mean, that's really going to, because I don't understand the first three games, you know, James Robinson had 11 carries, 23 carries, 17 carries. Something happened in between the Chargers game and the Philadelphia Eagles game, which, funny thing is, they haven't won a game since. So I'm not saying that's the whole reason, but they really switched over to ETN. And James Robinson had zero carries this week against the Giants. ETN played great. But you can't – I just don't understand. It's not like James Robinson wasn't, like, running well. Not, you know, 7 yards a carry like ETN, but he was getting, you know, a little over four. And I thought they would use both, but obviously he was going down in usage. And, you know, I think I was surprised he was traded. But for the Jets, I'm higher on James Robinson's outlook than I guess many. I understand Michael Carter can do some of the passing work and everything. I think James Robinson's a good receiver also. And it's not like he's just this two down back. I mean, he's shown he can play all three downs. I think pretty much, in my opinion, Michael Carter has to really show something in the next 2 weeks, or he might like lose it totally, because he's got to show that the reason he needs to stay on the field. If he plays poorly the next 2 weeks while James Robinson gets up to speed, James Robinson might take a large percentage of that. And I understand the line issues and everything. Hey, the Jaguars haven't had a good line in I don't know how long. And he, you know, he was still running well on that team, on that horrible team. The Jets team's better. Zach Wilson, I don't even know what he's doing half the time. That passing offense is just horrible with him. But they keep on winning with defense and being able to run the ball. I guess that's my end of James Robinson rant. But I really do like him there. I don't think he's a running back one or anything, but I think he's a mid running back two, as long as it's not a 50-50 split with Michael Carter, which it very well could be. But I tend to think that James Robinson is going to get more of the carries. And if he gets around 15 touches a game, I like that for a running back too.
Right. And, you know, based off of where he was at, you know, a week ago, a lot of people were excited when James Robinson got traded, you know, primarily fantasy football people. They were like, oh, thank God, James Robinson season. You know, I think James Robinson season implies that like he's about ready to take off. I honestly think he's worse than his situation was. I mean, obviously it was worse, but like if he was getting carries, if he's splitting a backfield with Travis Etienne, I think he'd probably be better off with the Jaguars than he would be with the Jets. And it's interesting because, you know, for a team that just so were so quick to trade James Robinson, the Jaguars, you think that they want to display him more, put him on the field more and give him some snaps to make, you know, to receive better compensation for the trade. But they gave him zero. And, you know, luckily, you know, the Jets needed a running back instantly. And the Jags were like, oh, okay. It's a really weird thing. Were the Jags even like thinking about trading him, or they're just, if they didn't give him any snaps, is he really just not who he was before? Has the Achilles injury already caught up with him? Was he okay for the first few weeks? And then the Achilles was hurting him more. I mean, we're going to have to all see. This is all just speculation. James Robinson, I still think that as far as understanding the position goes, between James Robinson and Travis Etienne, James Robinson is the far more mature running back. He understands the position way better. He knows how to read. He knows how to read and manipulate way. But he's way better than Travis Etienne as a pure runner at the position, understanding the position. Travis Etienne still has ways to go. Right, it would probably benefited Travis Etienne in dynasty owners to have James Robinson there, because he could have learned from James Robinson. But now we're going to see what James Robinson can do. And my whole thing was, look, you're on an offense with Zach Wilson, who's one of the most inept quarterbacks I've seen in a very long time. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I'm scared for the guy. I want him to succeed, but he's over there with Zach Wilson, who can't maneuver a pocket, who they're terrified to let the guy throw. They're down Elijah Vera Tucker. George Fant is going to miss week 8 at least, or who knows how much more longer. And, you know, there it's just they're on an offense where they can't stretch the field, and they have an offensive line that's really weak and a quarterback who's really weak. And so, you know, we're going to see how successful James Robinson is going to be, but at least we'll get a good look and we'll be able to assess, hopefully to some degree, of his athleticism outside of the Jaguars. And we'll be able to understand, hopefully, and compile a better argument and reasoning as to why they may have traded him.
Yeah. I just have a couple other extra things, because before this week against the Giants, against the Colts, he got 12 carries, and against Houston, he got 10 carries, played around 40% snap share. And this last week he had 15. So I don't know what happened. And last week against the Colts, he ran it 12 times for 54 yards, which isn't bad. You know, and I always thought Etienne was going to be more an in-space player. They would give him maybe like 5 to 10 carries, you know, between the tackles, and then do some stuff outside. But they're running him between the tackles and everything. And I guess that he's doing that better than they thought. But still, the whole thing with Peterson is he always, in Philly, he always used multiple running backs. And like I said, maybe he trusts Etienne, but I just find it hard to believe what happened in 3 weeks that like Etienne gained all this trust, because as good as Etienne is, he's fumbling and dropping passes in horrible situations. Horrible situations. He's making great plays, but there's still mistakes. And I would assume the Jets are going to use Michael Carter and James Robinson. Who knows? They might go to like where they run the ball 40 times a game. If they do that, then like both could, you know, possibly be flex running back twos. But I know I'm letting my heart get in the way. I love James Robinson. I think the Jets did him dirty last year. I know a lot of people in Jacksonville are upset that they traded him. It does seem like that if the Jets didn't come in, maybe they wouldn't have traded him, which is, like you said, a very, very weird situation. But, yeah, we can move on now.
As far as, say Dynasty, say James with James Robinson, what would you suggest people do with him? Say he goes out and he has his first game. First good game, not this week, because they're most likely to ease him in this week. We probably will see more Michael Carter, but say next week, or, you know, I don't know what their schedule looks like. It's pretty brutal, actually. I think they play New England, Buffalo, New England, the Bears. They play the Vikings, and then they play Buffalo again, I believe. So it's a very brutal schedule. So it seems like James Robinson's fantasy production outlook is really bleak. It looks like he's playing it a lot of tough defenses they're going to be up against. So I don't know what dynasty owners can do with him. It seems like all they can really do is hold or trade for future picks. Maybe I don't even think they can do that, because James Robinson after this season, he might be held on to by the Jets because Breece Hall is going to be most likely coming back some point in the midseason. Who knows what Breece Hall is going to be looking like, but I think James Robinson is going to be yet again, you know, as far as like redraft goes, he'll be that guy going in the last round of drafts as, you know, an RB2 who's a placeholder for Breece Hall until he comes back. So I don't know what we're going to see with James Robinson. Still pretty young for a running back. So, I mean, I think the best advice I can give to people who have him in Dynasty is just to hold, because you're most likely not going to get the offer that you want, or you're going to get some late round draft pick and rookie for a rookie draft that's essentially going to be useless. Like after, like, you know, you're going to get like a third round pick in a rookie draft, and unless somebody falls to you in a rookie draft, you're not going to really be able to profit off that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would say though, I wouldn't do it after one game, but say he has a couple like really good games, like say, you know, around 100 yards, 2 straight games, you know, a touchdown or anything, and you're not competing. If you're competing, I would go ahead and keep him. But say you're not, you're at the bottom, you're not doing that. And then that's where we're going to help a competing team. I would see if I could get a second for him because someone might really want to do that. I do wonder, too, if the Jets, no matter what, are going to keep James Robinson next year, even if Breece Hall is coming back, or if he's going to hit the market. Because if he has a big, you know, big year, rest of the year, I actually been very surprised at his progress coming off the Achilles. He looked like he had pretty good burst and everything, and he still looked good. When he did get stopped, it wasn't because of him, it was because of the line. He's going to be very interesting to where he might go. I don't think because he never had the draft capital, I don't know if he'll ever be the guy, but he could definitely be part of a two-back system. kind of like, you know, with someone that has a running back like Eckler, then, you know, that second back, that's the more physical back, something like that. But very interesting what they're going to, what his future really holds.
We've got, you know, going from one, going where, or let's switch from going from one player's future who's uncertain to another player's future who's uncertain, in Justin Fields. Justin Fields going into this year, I thought he was going to open the year. The way he's producing right now, and he has for the past 3 weeks, is how I thought he was going to open the year. That's how I thought Matt Eberflus was going to scheme him up to open the year. Now, it seems like they are using him more as a runner out of RPO. Like, they're actually designing runs for him out of the RPO. I think you might have heard me say this a couple times, that Justin Fields could very well likely have the season that Jalen Hurts did in 2021. Based on how you look at the structure of the offense, how it's primarily very run heavy. They don't really have the Bears don't really have, you know, any options to go to in the passing game. So they're going to be more inclined to use Fields and the running backs as extensions in the running game. Fields right now is set up to have over probably 900 rushing yards by the end of the season. If this keeps up, his next few games after the Cowboys is against Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, a few other easy matchups. I don't think he really has a very difficult matchup until like week 15 or 16 of the regular season. I think Justin Fields is going to be, he's going to be a savior for a lot of fantasy teams. Maybe starting, you know, if he hasn't already saved your team over the past 3 weeks, we're going to see a lot of people buy in the way that people bought into Geno Smith a few weeks ago. Remember that big rush for Geno Smith two or three weeks ago? I think we just saw that same rush with Justin Fields, the big primetime game, right? Where we all saw it. There's no way you can hide from this Justin Fields, you know, insanity right now. We're having field sanity right now. I think Justin Fields is, I think we're seeing now Joe Burrow pop up, Justin Fields starting to do things. In the beginning of the year, we had a few running backs, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, dominating the quarterback position. And anybody who had none of them was struggling. I was struggling. I think a lot of people are predominantly struggling. Now we're seeing Joe Burrow pop up. Now we're seeing Justin Fields take shape. And this kind of goes back to what we were discussing before about teams settling into their identities. Hopefully with good rational coaching, they are able to produce in fantasy. Right. And so we're seeing that with Justin Fields right now. And I firmly believe, and I am more inclined to believe, that he is going to be a savior for a lot of fantasy teams through his rushing floor. And, you know, they're moving the pocket and they're creating passing plays for him. All you really need is this guy, you know, to run for 80 yards with his 10 attempts per game, get one rushing touchdown. And, you know, and if not, get two passing touchdowns and one passing touchdown at the least. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both are big fans of Justin Fields. I saw a quote from Justin today about in the longer week, they went to look at some of the stuff with the Ravens and Lamar, put some of that in. One thing I have to say is, like, you know, what were you doing in the offseason? I mean, you knew what Justin Fields was, but regardless, I did see a lot that I liked. I just don't think he's ever going to be a guy this year, at least, that's going to get you that many multiple passing touchdown games. Their passing game just isn't – he doesn't have the weapons. They haven't really been able to scheme up Darnell Mooney deep shots. I think this year is to raise Justin Fields' confidence with running the ball, getting him easy plays, trying to get as many wins as they can this year, and then get him help next year once his confidence is up to really move this offense forward. They're going to have to manufacture wins. But I'm glad to see them run the ball and everything. And this, I said this past week, I always thought Kyle Shanahan made the wrong choice. He should have picked Justin Fields over Trey Lance, because him in that offense would be ridiculous. It would be perfect. I always thought he would be the better player there. It would have been better development for Justin Fields. I never really understood why they gave away everything to Trey Lance, someone that, you know, comes from a smaller school. There's always questions about, you know, him being able to pass the ball and everything. And, you know, we'll see how Trey Lance goes, but it's definitely Just a few weeks ago, people were writing off Justin Fields saying he was a bust already. So it's nice to see him put some good games together. And that was a very well-coached game by the Bears. Very surprised by it. I think it surprised the Patriots also. And speaking of the Patriots, do you think at all there's a quarterback controversy there? Or just in name alone?
No, I don't think there's a controversy at all. I think I don't know what happened last week, but the Patriots were just for some reason just terrified of Mac Jones and the Chicago Bears. Understandably, Bailey Zappe was functioning really well for the past 2 weeks, but it's just there shouldn't be a quarterback controversy. Mac Jones is a better prospect. He comes from a better program. You know, Bailey Zappe got lucky on a very underthrown ball to Jacoby Myers. You know,
that was a horrible pass. A great catch.
Yeah.
But that was a horrible pass.
Real quick, I want to go over the people that passed over Justin Fields. And this is common. So Justin Fields got passed up by the New York Jets, by the San Francisco 49ers, by the Atlanta Falcons, by the Lions, the Panthers, the Broncos, right? So he fell past all those QB needy teams. You know, they all made their good picks. They all made great picks, but Justin Fields fell all the way to Chicago Bears, right? I mean, Justin Fields could have been a great fit for any of these offenses, you know, and he was very undersold, and you know, it's a shame what happened to him. But as far as New England goes, you know, it should just be Mac Jones. It should only be Mac Jones over there. Bailey Zappe is, you know, some small school prospect. I don't know what they were doing over there. They're probably just trying to ride the hot hand at quarterback. Honestly, what probably happened with the Patriots is that their defense just couldn't contain Justin Fields. I think it was less on the quarterbacks than it was on, because those quarterbacks aren't designed and there to play catch up, really. But we saw that Mac Jones with the Ravens a few weeks ago did just that. He went toe to toe with the Ravens. They put up a high scoring affair. Mac Jones is capable of doing that. Bailey Zappe isn't. He just simply isn't, right? So stop with the games. Keep Mac Jones in there. Let Bailey Zappe develop. I understand you threw him in there to see what happened. Looked really good. Maybe Bailey Zappe would have been able to hold up and lead the Patriots to a win if they were in a positive game script, but they weren't. And Bailey Zappe could not bring them back from the deficit, and the Patriots defense was just bleeding points.
No, I agree with everything you said. I was surprised they even draft Bailey Zappe when they did. I thought, you know, I was surprised he went over Sam Howell, but you know, maybe it's a system type thing. Yeah, Matt Jones better, maybe with the ankle. The crowd really went crazy for Zappe, but that offense is what it is. They need to have a close game, you know, run the ball, do play action type things like that. When they have to come back like that, they're just not capable of doing it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this week with the Jets. And you know, as far as the Jets go, and I think we've spoken enough about the Jets, but if the Jets had any sense, Robert Saleh would have watched that game and be like, we can do what the Bears did. We can do that. We don't want Zach Wilson to throw the ball. Obviously, we don't want him to throw the ball. We have two capable running backs, James Robinson, Michael Carter. Let's do what the Bears did. Let's run the RPO and let's get Zach Wilson mobile. Apparently, the Patriots can't stop mobile quarterbacks. So I'm really curious to see what Saleh does. Again, he's winning again on the road against the Broncos. And you know, it just shows how bad Wilson is. They went and they couldn't even put up any points against the Broncos defense, right? Luckily, there wasn't Wilson. You had Bailey Zappe playing, so they could just, you know, just crawl an inch their way towards like a narrow victory. So we'll see what they do against the Patriots this week. If Saleh has any sense, they'll run the same exact offense that the Bears did last week. So, yeah. Anything else? Is there anything else you want to discuss? Anything else that has been irking you a little bit?
No. Well, I think I texted you this during the week that I guess, you know, we're kind of wrong about the DeAndre Hopkins can save that offense because he was amazing. And Kyler missed him a couple times or he probably would have had more yards. It just shows, like, how good he is. It doesn't matter where the pass is thrown. I think it gave Kyler a little bit of comfort. Was like, if I'm in trouble, let me just throw it up to DeAndre. You know, and he's going to make a play. And I still think there's major problems on that offense, especially, you know, scheme-wise. But also very happy for Eno Benjamin to have a big day. A lot of us Eno, you know, fans have been waiting for this. I do wonder if it becomes more of a timeshare when James Conner comes back. So what do you think about that? Or do you think Eno
just goes back? Yeah, I think it's going to be more of a timeshare. I think it has to be more of a timeshare. You know, Eno Benjamin, you know, he served his time on the depth chart. And, you know, last week and the past 2 weeks, last week he looked incredible. Last week really, he looked really well. He was running very hard, breaking tackles. That guy runs really, really well. You know, also in that same breath, Keyonte Ingram on his few touches looked very good. Like there was a play where he took a reception up the sideline across the middle of the field, was very elusive. You know, very good, strong runner, good short yardage back. James Conner really doesn't even have to play a snap. And I think they'd be fine in the backfield. James Conner is just, they should just use him as a fullback, you know, or they shouldn't even really use him right now at all. Like all he's good for right now is stiff arming people. That's all really James Conner is good for. They can do a lot more. They can do a lot more if they keep Rondale Moore and a combination of, you know, Keyonte Ingram and Eno Benjamin on the field. I know Daryl Williams came back to practice today. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah.
What do you think they will do you think they'll give Daryl Williams the job back?
Daryl Williams will probably just slot back in front of Keyonte Ingram, but I think Eno Benjamin is ahead of Daryl Williams on the depth chart. But we know with the running back position, it's a lot more fluid than other positions. It's really all about who's performing the best on that day. So say Chase Edmonds starts ahead of Daryl Williams, and Daryl Williams comes on and looks good. I could see Cliff Kingsbury in, you know, his infinite wisdom. And, you know, not really infinite wisdom, but, you know, I could see him doing something stupid like putting Daryl Williams ahead of, you know, Benjamin. But, you know, that backfield is really, really strong. And I think the Cardinals should honestly start, you know, looking at their offense more something like what the Bears are doing. They should maybe tone down the insane pass attempts and just start running the ball more, make Hopkins their primary receiver, and just be very run-oriented. We're seeing, you know, a lot of the defenses now, they have a lighter linebackers. They're using a lot of nickel packages, and they're staying with, you know, they're staying in cover two, keeping two safeties back. So why not just run the ball more? I mean, especially with the Cardinals being having the weapons that they do, they can audible and they can switch out of they can switch plays easily. So I mean, they should really look to running the ball a lot more frequently. I think that NFC West is wide open. I'm really curious to see what the Rams look like coming out of the bye. I know Van Jefferson got activated off of IR. Allen Robinson was building a little bit of momentum going into the bye week. I think they got two offensive linemen coming back. If not two, one is definitely coming back. It's going to be exciting to see what the Rams look like coming out of the bye. And, you know, it's just, I think the NFC West, I think, is just starting to take shape. I think it's not really settled yet.
All right, talking about the NFC West, the Seahawks. So I kind of wrote about this, but I'm kind of like in between. So DK Metcalf, we don't know how long he's out. Marquise Goodwin had that huge game. You know, do you think he has any staying power while DK Metcalf is out, or it's just, you know, one of those games where, you know, he got open?
No, he has staying power, but in a very specific role. You know, I think we can both agree that Marquise Goodwin is more of a straight line receiver than anything else. Like, he still has that speed, he's a deep threat, which is great. And, you know, I think most offenses need that element, to be able to relieve the pressure and, you know, the different facets of the offense. You know, he's a staying power. I think he just got open though a couple of times, you know, got a couple of big plays. But he has fantasy value. Obviously, we saw that. Don't rely on two touchdowns every single week. That's just not sustainable. Don't even rely on a touchdown a week from. Don't even rely on a touchdown this week from him. You know, but you know, he'll have some fantasy value. He's the number two option there. I do think that Noah Fant's going to have more relevance now. I think Noah Fant, he's seen his snap share increase. He's mid 60% snap share over the past couple of weeks. He's becoming more part of the offense. He's becoming more, he's becoming more of an integral part of the offense. So, you know, we're seeing more of a shift to Noah Fant, I think. And Will Disley's still there doing his thing. But, man, that Seahawks offense is humming, man. And you know, Tariq Woolen on the other side, the Seahawks defense, he's playing lights out. Dude, that guy's awesome. I love him. He's a really great cornerback. Watched a really cool film study on him on YouTube. You know, a side note, I want to become more familiar with the cornerback position and how it works. I've always been curious about it. I know there's a whole nother, you know, world to the cornerback position. And Tariq Woolen, I think if you're trying to learn about the cornerback position, watch Tariq Woolen. Watch somebody break down Tariq Woolen. You'll learn about what good DB play looks like. So that Seahawks, we all messed up with the Seahawks. We all messed up with the Seahawks. And I will say that every single week on this show.
No, I agree. Everyone thought they might be the worst team. And I think they're getting back to what made them good. Like with the Legion of Boom, they're getting the bigger corners that can play physical. They're running the ball. I am back to Marquise Goodwin. I think he's a fine for a flex play because he's good. Get, you know, like 4 or 5 targets a game, you know, get that. But I am interested with Dwayne Eskridge. They drafted him a couple years ago. He hasn't done much, but they're trying to get him more involved. So I want to see, like, maybe he can do some things. Let's go to another wide receiver that I know screwed both of us, Michael Gallup. What was going on with that Cowboys offense? You're on mute.
I know. I was yelling explicitives into the mic about Michael Gallup. I didn't want anybody to hear it. I was saying bad things. Dude, Michael Gallup's apparently the number 3 on the wide receiver. Noah Brown came out. As soon as I saw Noah Brown to trot out into the field, I saw 2 tight ends come out on the field. And then I was like, all right, that means 2 wide receiver sets. Michael Gallup, Noah Brown? What the hell is Noah Brown? And there's no worse feeling of feeling that feeling in your gut where everything just drops when you're like, why is my wide receiver not out there in 2 wide receiver sets? I don't like this at all. And I was like, okay, fine. We'll probably get like 4 catches for like 70 yards, 60 yards. Not even that. It's just not, I don't care about Michael Gallup anymore. I don't want to talk about him. He's a jerk. I don't appreciate what happened. I don't like the Cowboys outside of Tony Pollard anymore. I don't really want any piece of them. I don't care about CeeDee Lamb. I am excluding all the Cowboys outside of Tony Pollard. I don't even want to draft that made me so sick. That was terrible. That I've taken zeros before, but that was awful. You know, and this leads me to another point. I got really upset because somebody said, oh, well, you know, Michael Gallup, you know, they should be using him because they got paid more. And, you know, honestly, I kind of got upset. And I'm sorry for, you know, getting upset at the person. But I said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of that reasoning of, oh, they paid him, so they should use him. How many times do we see that argument flip upside down and go on its head every single season? Stop saying they paid him, they're going to use him. It doesn't matter. Stop saying that. It's all about what the coach feels like doing. Mike McCarthy's crazy. Mike McCarthy's going to do Mike McCarthy things. You know, like, whatever, dude. Like, I'm tired of that reasoning. Let's stop using these crutch arguments and leaning into them and basing our projections based on how big of a check they sign. Apparently.
Yeah, in this instance, Michael Gallup is better than Noah Brown. There's no reason that he shouldn't be on the field.
No, he is better. He is better than Noah Brown. I don't understand why that happened. No one saw that coming. Everybody was very excited to see Michael. No one saw that coming. Everybody was very excited to see Michael Gallup play the Detroit Lions DBs. And
so I got a 0 with Michael Gallup, obviously. If I had played any other player than Michael Gallup, I would have won. I lost by 5. And every player on my bench had at least like 8 points. Yep. It was ridiculous.
Is Michael Gallup still on your team? Is it a dynasty team?
It's a keeper team. I haven't cut him yet. Okay. I really like Michael Gallup, the player. I'm hoping that this doesn't happen again, but I'm not going to play him until he has like 4 straight good games. Because
he's still on my dynasty team, but on Tuesday morning, I was just like alarming off. And the first thing I did, I was like, get this fucking bum off my team. I kicked him off my team so fast. Get off my team. You don't belong. This is a winner's team. You don't belong here. Cowboys. Just give me Tony Pollard. I never want to watch a Cowboys game again for the rest of the season. I'm so sick of Mike McCarthy. I'm so sick of him. I've never been so sick in my entire life. My fiance came downstairs, and I can't even replicate the face I had. It was just dread. It was like, she was like, oh my God, your face, what's wrong with it? And I was just like, this is my first world problems. And I'm going to just act like I'm the biggest victim in the world right now. And I don't care what anybody says. So, yeah. That was my Sunday. It was pretty bad. It was really, I felt all the, it's like you feel all the testosterone just leave your body and you're like, I am no longer a man. I don't know what, I'm just like the shapeless form that has no identity whatsoever.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a very bad fantasy week for me. I will say one matchup I did win. I thought I was going to lose bad because I had Jalen Hurts on a bye. So it's a super flex league. So my two quarterbacks I had to start was Marcus Mariota and Davis Mills. And I was going up against Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. And I won by like 10 points because neither of them did anything. So So I was able to, you know, do that. What do you think, speaking of Lamar, what do you think is going on with Lamar? The past few games, you know, they haven't really been putting up a lot of points. You think it's just a little bit of a mid-season funk they're in? Or because the other thing is, with Gus Edwards there, they're going to pound the rock with Gus Edwards, especially inside the 10. Yeah. He's going to get those touchdowns that Lamar might have gotten before. Mark Andrews didn't do much last game. It's very frustrating if you are a Lamar owner.
I don't know what he rushed for. If you can look that up real quick, let's see what he rushed for. Let's see if his rushing is sustaining at least. But I heard that the Browns took away Mark Andrews, right? And if you take away Mark Andrews away from Lamar Jackson, there really won't be much passing production. Another thing, the AFC West matches, they're usually like these slow grinding matches with the Browns and the Ravens. They usually have these low scoring affairs, right? So that's another thing. Also another element, Gus Edwards gives them exactly what they want in the run game. He is a grinding running back who's going to go straight forward, and he's going to pick up 5-4 yards every single time. He's going to keep that offense on schedule, and they're just going to grind down the field. And if they have to, they're going to kick a 55-yard field goal with Justin Tucker, or they're going to take 4 more minutes and run down to the end of the end zone. Right? Like, they prefer to run the ball. This is what the Ravens are. We do this every single year with the Ravens, right? This is why I think you and I, we were talking about Rashad Bateman earlier in the show. I had Rashad Bateman as like wide receiver 28 coming into the year in my dynasty rankings, right? He was a wide receiver 3 for me. He's a talented wide receiver. It's just the Ravens, right? He's part of a system that refuses to budge from what they are. They are not going to open it up. Every year they take a wide receiver somewhere, this and that. James Prochet, Devin Duvernay. You know, it's just not going to happen. Rashad Bateman is going to be a wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 on the year. And Mark Andrews is the only thing you want, only passing offense you want from there. Until the Ravens. Luckily, the Ravens' secondary sucks again, which should force them to get into more passing situations once they play better teams that are able to throw the ball on them. Right? They played a team that is not a passing team. They played the Browns. They want to run the ball. They are pretty much a mirror image of what the Ravens are. So, I got offered, I forgot to, in our league, in the Flying Wheels League, I got offered a first round pick in 2023, a first round pick in 2024, and a fourth round pick or a third round pick like next year in 2 years for Lamar Jackson. I'm not taking that. I'm declining it. And I think they're trying to just capitalize on the opportunity right now. So I really wouldn't worry about Lamar Jackson going forward.
Yeah, he did have 59 yards rushing, so he has at least 58 yards rushing in every game except the first game.
Right.
But he only threw 16 passes this game, and if he is only throwing it that much, really you're banking on rushing touchdowns. So, definitely limits that. But he's going to have some big games later in the season. Actually, I don't know, because he ends the – like in playoff time, he has – Denver, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and then finishes with Cincinnati. Other than Cincinnati, none of those teams are very good offensive teams. So we might have a lot of this running come that time also.
Yeah. So let's look at the games and try to see if we could find a good game script. This Thursday at the Bucks, you might have that. You might have something of a shootout. You might have Tom Brady coming back pissed off. Insert narrative here. We'll probably see more pass attempts. We'll probably see northward of 25 pass attempts from Lamar Jackson. Should have a good game. Ravens and Saints should be a good game. Then he's got the Panthers. Not great. That's going to be probably another low scoring affair for Lamar Jackson. Jaguars. That's a toss up. Broncos. No. Steelers. Probably not. Yeah. Browns again. Falcons. It's not too promising of, you know, there isn't much upside in the schedule as far as Lamar Jackson goes. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're just not going to start Lamar Jackson? What are you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to roll with it and just take it as it is. The only way I would trade Lamar is I've got to be getting a top 15 quarterback back, and then you know some other value because, like what you're getting, you don't know what kind of quarterback is going to be there.
Yeah.
And you know, still, I mean, let me look. He's still quarterback four. Obviously, he's had some really good games at the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I heard someone talk about this on Twitter too. You know, these players aren't going to have like 40-point games every week. You're going to have games where he scores 40. Then you're going to have games where he scores 12. It's all players, you know, outside of maybe Cooper Kupp last year where he went crazy every week. Players have ups and downs. Justin Jefferson does that. All the good players do that. So you can't overreact to a small stretch in the season where they're playing poorly.
All right, let me ask you a question real quick. A hypothetical. Next week, or in 2 weeks, here's a two-week question, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, Justin Fields plays the Detroit Lions at home, right? Okay. 2 weeks from now, Lamar Jackson plays the Panthers at home. Who are you going to play? Justin Fields at home versus the Lions, Lamar Jackson at home versus the Panthers.
Let me say this before I answer. I know they're probably not going to beat the Cowboys, but I think my answer depends on how they actually look against the Cowboys. If they look functional, it's probably really close for me. Right. Because, I mean, they're going to try to just run Gus Edwards down Carolina's throat. And I don't – even though the Panthers scored, 20-some points last week against the Bucs, I don't think they can do that even against the bad Ravens defense. So – man, that's tough because it's really the same type of player we're talking about where they're just running and you're hoping they can get like one passing touchdown, you know. Obviously, Lamar's the better passer. I'm not saying all the Lamar lovers are going to come after me, but he obviously has a better ceiling. But at this point, the way the offenses are set up, they're very, very similar. Man, that's a tough one, though. That is a tough one. But I need to see another efficient game from Justin Fields this week. I don't expect them to beat the Cowboys, but just efficient, you know, not like if he throws like three picks and it's like 7 of 18.
Yeah.
That's a big step back, even against a better team.
Yeah. I don't think Eberflus would just stray away from the game plan that just helped them beat the crap out of the Patriots on Monday Night Football in New England. And, you know, we'll just close out with our topic that we usually close out with, you know, any games, can you name a couple games you're excited to watch this season or this week? Anything off the top of your head? We've got Raiders, Saints. We've got, you know, the Cowboys, you know, I'll go first. I'll buy you some time. I'm excited to watch, the Rams Niners, you know, primarily because we have McCaffrey back. Jimmy G sucks. I'm not excited to watch him. I wanted to watch to see how the Rams, take shape. I want to see if the Rams are going to get any better. They looked pretty hopeless. It looked really like a pit of despair with the LA Rams. I want to see what Van Jefferson does to the offense, if he can change it. I want to see Allen Robinson. Kyron Williams just got activated from IR. Let's see what Kyron Williams can do. You know, it's Kyron Williams is weird because I like Kyron Williams, but, you know, athletically he was, you know, with his testing, he was horrible. But apparently everybody's saying now go grab Kyron Williams, like in redraft.
Apparently McVay loves him. So I've been seeing that too.
Okay.
Where I can pick up Kyron Williams if I have a spot, I have been just because we don't know what's going on with Cam Akers. Couple games, Cardinals, Vikings, a lot of fantasy implications there. And then I never thought I would want to see this game, but Giants at Seahawks. Both teams playing very well. I want to see, you know, how that goes, and I want to see the continued evolution of Daniel Jones with Wandale Robinson. You know, they like to get him out in space. Darius Slayton's come back from the dead, and I want to see if Daniel Jones can keep this up. They say he's fully healthy with that ankle. He's giving you probably like 50 rushing yards a game. I mean, Daniel Jones, he's coming back. I mean, I thought it was a mistake them going with him a starter this year, but look at him. He's probably going to earn another, you know, year or so.
Are you going to sell Daniel Jones if he just, like, has another good week? Are you going to sell him in Dynasty?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's just, we've seen so much of him be bad. I just can't get that out of my head.
Yeah.
So if he gets another good week, I would probably, if someone will trade me some good value, I probably would.
And my second game I'm really excited to see is I can't wait to watch the Buffalo Bills make Aaron Rodgers cry on national television.
Oh, Roger, that Packers offense is killing me. Killing me.
Are you heavily invested in the offense, or is just killing you from watching it?
Both.
Yeah.
Like, I picked up Rodgers in a couple leagues, you know, and especially Dynasty, because, you know, no one was picking him up. And, you know, I did not expect him to look like this, you know. And where are all these people that said, you know, Alan Lazard was going to save him and all this stuff? I was like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I didn't think I was in on Alan Lazard at cost, but I never at all profiled him as like a true number one.
Right.
Just, you know, there's nothing there. Apparently he crapped on Romeo Dubs today or something like that on a show. Aaron Rodgers did. You see something like that? The clip? Dave Klugli posted a clip of Aaron Rodgers, I think, on the Pat McAfee show, who basically like just shit all over Dubs. And it was just like, this guy's not good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Shitting on your best possible hopes.
That's just Rodgers, man. He's not a good leader. He's not a good leader at all. But I mean, like, what are you going to like? Even they're such a bad organization. They came and trade for like, they can't draft a good receiver. They didn't draft George Pickens when they had the chance, or even freaking Sky Moore. You know, you went and drafted Christian Watson. You know, if you're going to draft a small school guy, draft a guy who's like versatile at least and like understands the position who's better. So now they're talking about bringing in Chase Claypool, whatever. That's not going to help you, whatever.
I would be intrigued by Chase Claypool there.
Right. I mean, as far as fantasy goes, but like, he's not going to help that team get wins, really. Like, he's not going to really do anything. You think so?
Possibly, because I think he kind of profiles to be something. Obviously, he's not Devontae Adams, but something to like. I think Rodgers just like that big guy where you can just like throw it to him. And the players they have right now, they're not good at those back shoulder just throw up passes. They're not those kind of wide receivers.
If you say out loud the receivers that on Packers, it's really depressing. If you just say words out loud,
it's not good.
It's like going in the mirror in the bathroom and saying Bloody Mary 20 times in the mirror with the lights off. You know, it's like, you know what I'm talking about? You ever did that when you were a kid, Bloody Mary?
I didn't, but I know what you're talking about.
So it's like that. It's like you don't ever say the Packers wide receivers out loud. Because like you're gonna get cursed for life or bad ghost is gonna visit you.
Well, I mean, they brought in Sammy Watkins thinking that was the answer when Sammy Watkins hasn't played like more than like four games. I don't even know how
long. That's how bad they are, dude. Like, you bring in Sammy Watkins, you just go get somebody, man. Just go pick somebody up. Go make.
They should have threw money at Juju.
It's not like they should have done money. Spend money. It's not like you guys do anything good with your draft picks anyway. So like, instead, you're not good at drafting wide receivers anyway, so just go trade for one who's already proven. Just go give a draft pick for somebody who's already proven and take the burden off your shoulders of having to worry about drafting a good wide receiver. I don't know. LaFleur, I think he's done. Like, if he doesn't improve, like, this week, if they just get smashed this week.
So if they miss the playoffs, does he get fired?
Oh, yeah. This is insane. Aaron Rodgers will
crazy, like, from what he's done, you know, from in there to get. Oh yeah,
but yeah, because bad. The offense that they've installed has been a very run heavy offense ever since day one. I remember the first year. I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but the first year Aaron Rodgers was unhappy because they were running the ball a lot, and eventually he conformed and he got happy because they made the playoffs and, you know, whatnot, and they were finding success for the past couple of years. But right now it's just not working. And they're just they got really cocky, confident. They could give LaFleur one more year if they go out and draft a good wide receiver, but or two wide receivers. But I mean,
I think they need to trade for one because I just don't think Rodgers does well with rookies. Like, I don't no. rookie receivers. He's not. No. He's, I mean, yeah, I would think they need to go get
Jerry someone. Jeudy.
Yeah,
there's Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Cooks. Go trade for Brandon Cooks. Yeah. You think he's done? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I honestly haven't seen Brandon Cooks play a single snap this year. That's how bad it is. I haven't seen him come up once on Red Zone Channel.
I've seen a couple. Well, when he played the Jags once, and he's dropping passes and it just doesn't look like the same guy. So yeah, I don't know if it's just, you know, the bad offense. I don't know. But I would be intrigued with Jeudy because – I'm not ready to give up on Judy, but Judy's really not performing. I know the quarterback play isn't great, but eventually you have to put it on the field.
There was a rumor that they wanted to sign AJ Green. Did you see that?
Ugh.
This is what we were just talking about. Like, this is, they're just, the guy's done. What are you giving assets for? Like, don't even give anything for that guy. Like, don't give, they should give you something for taking AJ Green off their hands.
I'm so glad with DeAndre Hopkins coming back that AJ Green didn't see the field. Like, he didn't even have a helmet, you know, on Thursday. Because I've watched, the Cardinals games, and like, if anyone touches him when the ball's thrown to him, he drops it.
He just
like, anyone like taps him on the shoulder, he's like, nope, I don't want it.
Oh man, oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. All right, let's close it up.
All right,
let's
cool.
close it up. So that'll do the show for this week. You will be in Hawaii next week, correct?
Yeah.
So we'll see what we do for that. But have a great time in Hawaii. And this was What the Fantasy. I am Brandon Hay at HeyB3 on Twitter.
I'm Zadi Kantabedian at ZKantsFF on Twitter.
All right, we'll see you guys. I guess both of us will see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. See you guys. See you, Brandon. Later, guys.